Okay, today's reading is Colossians 1, 9 to 14. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Carol, for praying, and Esther for reading God's word to us this morning. So, knowing Jesus better, that theme for this year, rooted in this word from Colossians. Next Sunday, we have a special service as we commission a new eldership back when, I don't know when it was, the community forum, a meeting within the church to affirm and support those for eldership. Happened, I think, in November. And next Sunday is that commissioning of them into that role. Again, as leaders, I'll be speaking about leadership next week. What does it mean to follow the way of Jesus in leadership? Then following next Sunday, we get into a sermon series on the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, which is going to be a lot of fun and games. And that will all be about the theme of Jesus as King. And this picture comes from a trip that the family and I did to Lisbon earlier this year. And in Lisbon, the city is under this statue, Christ the King. It's a huge statue, dwarfed, admittedly, by Christ the Redeemer, the more well-known one in Rio de Janeiro, but based upon that, but with a different title, Christ the King. And so we'll be looking at Revelation. And then throughout the year, we'll be going through themes, but they're all connected to what it means to know Jesus better as people, as individuals, but also as a community, as a church, to grow deeper in our understanding, our knowledge, our relationship of Jesus. So that's what we'll be doing. This is the key verse of today. And at the heart of that verse is this sense of Paul and Timothy writing to the church in Colossae and saying, we just pray for you because we want you to be growing in the knowledge of God. And that's my prayer for us as a church, that we would grow in our knowledge of God in Christ through the power of the Spirit. So knowing Jesus better. For me, it sounds like a very simple and, in one sense, twee little phrase. The time off I had to recuperate from a knee surgery meant I had time to think and to pray and to reflect about what we would do in this year ahead as a church. And I kept coming back to this simple phrase, know Jesus better. And I kept going back to the Lord and saying, please give me something much more profound. Something that the church will go, wow, he's intelligent. Wow, he's been really deep in prayer. Lord, this seems so simple. Surely they're just teaching that upstairs with the children. Not for the adults who have been Christians for years. No, Matt, please, this is what I want you to share with the church. Know Jesus better. So that's what we're about. It all began, for me, on the 1st of January. That annual trip that I have to make, it's a bit like a pilgrimage. And I kind of look forward to this trip because it's a cleansing, it's a renewing, it's a satisfying journey. I get in the car is filled to the brim, and I go to Lifford Lane. Anyone else know Lifford Lane? Just after sort of Christmas, New Year? The Tip. It's the place to go. It really is. You meet all sorts of people there doing the similar sort of stuff, and you go there and you get rid of all the stuff. Funnily enough, all the stuff you've bought. And there's that therapeutic sense of cleansing as you get rid of the stuff. This year, for the first time ever, Hannah came with me. She drove. Great. And yeah, you don't normally come, do you? But it was a lovely romantic trip to the Tip. And and we do that. It's this time of year that we get rid of stuff because we want to go less. We really want to go less. We want to get rid of stuff. Junk, not needed, too many clothes, too many toys, too much food, too much garden waste, whatever it is, we go and get rid of it. I find it therapeutic. It's actually the period of the year where we seek to go simple. Less stuff, less hoarding. We strip stuff away, strip stuff back, and we seek to recycle. Or perhaps it might not be stuff, material stuff. It may be self-emptying, a morality of the heart, of the soul, a moral change that we're looking for. Not material sort of clustering, but actually the moral change. Less selfish, perhaps. Less TV. Less screen time. Less impatient. Less angry. Less busy. That moral sort of doing away with stuff. Cleansing. Or maybe it's not simplicity of material stuff or a self-emptying of morality. Maybe it's a sacrificial thing. Denying that piece of chocolate. Giving up what is bad for your body. No pain, no gain. No more indulgence. The start of exercise. You know, that good sense of anticipation for the year ahead. Less chocolate, less crisps for me. If anyone's a Facebook follower of mine, you know that the most debatable thing I put on Facebook this year was not about a faith stance or an issue to do with politics, although there's posts about that. It was actually to do with my understanding of a crisp sandwich. It got more comments and quotes than anything I've ever posted before. I know there's some of you in this church who love a crisp sandwich. Don't have a crisp sandwich in this new year. Less cake, unless you want to provide for the place of welcome. Please provide cakes for the place of welcome, but basically, we're about less cake. But this passage is about the opposite of just that. It's about more. It's about the abundance. It's about growth. It's about taking on much, much more, gaining, growing abundance in the knowledge of God and his character and his will and his way. Paul writes to the church in Colossae and says, through prayer and more prayer and more prayer, I pray that you may grow and gain in the knowledge of God. That's the theme, the bumper theme for this year, to know Jesus better, not in half measure, but overflowing in a fullness, in an anticipation to grow deeper in our relationship with him. The heartbeat of this passage that Esther read to us is about the abundant life in Christ, to learn to know him better. God cannot be tamed or controlled, limited or boxed in. The shackles of our tiny faith and small imagination of God need to be broken free, released into a world that we would love others into the loveliness of Jesus. I'm going to pause and take a breath. That's what we're about. We don't know what the year ahead holds for us as individuals, nor as a church community. We don't have a crystal ball to work out what is going to happen in February and March and all the other months. But through those months, may we grow deeper into a knowledge and relationship with Jesus. What might this look like for you and for me in the year ahead? Well, I've got six, and you're thinking, six? But six very brief points, all beginning with the letter P, because I'm back. So that's what we're going to do. You'll have your own list, but maybe you want to jot this list down on your phone. Now, if you are on your phone, you're not checking Facebook or Instagram or anything else. You are diligently taking notes this morning. I know that. So it's just an encouragement to continue in that way. But go on your notes in your, on your phone, or write it down. These 6 points, they all begin with P. The first is prayer. Verse 9, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. I love the fact that prayer here, and this is the simple point, is plural. So much in my Christian life, from a very young age to now, has been about a guilt complex of my individual prayer walk. I never seem to do it well enough, or do it enough on my own. But here, I love the comfort, the language of Paul and Timothy going, we pray as companions in Christ. We pray together. We spur you on in our prayer life. We together pray for you. I think praying with others is, for me personally, is so vibrant, and it helps so much. And I encourage you to know Jesus better this year by praying with someone else this year, throughout the year. Think about a prayer companion. Pray in your life groups. And I know there are some of you, perhaps, that when you're in your life group, you struggle to pray out loud in that small group setting. Maybe ask God on your own to see, can I begin to pray in a group setting? Lord, fill me in that way. Begin to pray and be prayed for in a group. Dare to ask someone to pray for you for this year ahead. Some of you remember we did a whole sermon series on prayer, and we had prayer bracelets. And I think one or two of you in this church have still got those. And maybe you want to make a prayer bracelet to pray with knots in it and think about others to pray for. Get really committed and fired up for the week of prayer. Pray with others on a daily basis. But say, look, I'm not going to go on my own to this prayer week, but I'll come with you. Can we go together to that? Praying with others is a way to get to know Jesus better. I love this painting. In my time away from church for a few weeks, I read a few books, and one of them is called Christ in the Wilderness by Stephen Cottrell. He's a great person, and he reflects on these paintings by Stanley Spencer. And this is a picture of Christ praying, but he writes this about it, and I love it because it tells us that, yeah, praying on our own can be a struggle, but praying with someone else can be such a joy. Listen to this. Stephen Cottrell, the Bishop of York, says this. I don't find praying easy. What? The Bishop of York? Phew. He goes on. On the one hand, I truly believe it is the most important thing I do each day. On the other hand, finding the discipline to match the desire is never as straightforward as I would like it to be. This is especially true when I'm left to my own devices. There always seems to be a good reason to put off praying. Or when I do set time aside, my mind wanders. Where is that sock? He didn't say that, that's my words. Or I gallop through words that should be taken slowly, gulped down without chewing what needs to be savoured. But I long for intimacy and focus of prayer. And I see that intimacy and focus of prayer in this picture. Because for Jesus, prayer seems, for the most part, to have been a joy. What we see here is not some solemn obligation or duty that has to be got through, but the delight of coming into the presence of the Father. The whole of Jesus' body is directed upwards to God, like an arrow pointing to the heavens. Prayer as a joy, as a celebration, as something done in companionship. That's what Paul and Timothy were doing. They were basing their lives on the prayer life of Jesus. and blessing other people through it. May you this year and me get to know Jesus better by journeying with someone else in prayer as we pray for a world in need. The next one is pages, that sense of scripture. Yeah, I'm struggling here with my P's already on number two. Pages, that sense of what does scripture teach us about Jesus? In verse 9b, asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Getting to know Jesus better may mean opening up your Bible a bit more regularly than you perhaps have done before. Seeking his will and his way, seeking that spiritual wisdom and understanding that comes through scripture. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Maybe in 2020, soak yourself in scripture. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Learn, listen, delve into the lifestyle of Jesus in the Gospels. Who was he? What did he do? What did he say? Who did he hang out with? Maybe you know the answer already, or you think you do, but trust me, the Spirit is at work to illuminate new things in your life, an awareness about who Jesus is and what he's about and what he has done for you. I don't know whether you're the same age as me, but if you are in your mid-40s, I know it's a shock, that's how old I am, but I grew up on this book, The Jesus I Never Knew by Philip Yancey. This is a brilliant book. Listen to these words. Jesus is a portrait of God. Some people say, I don't believe in God, but the God that they often talk about is God very different from Jesus. Because the God that some people talk about isn't the God I believe in either. But when I look to the life of Jesus, there I find the reality of who God is. Jesus is the corrective to all our assumptions about God. To know God is to know who Jesus is. Books of theology tend to define God by what he is not: immortal, invisible, infinite. But what is God like positively for the Christian? Jesus answers such all-important questions. The Apostle Paul boldly called Jesus the image of the invisible God. Jesus was God's exact replica, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. I must admit that Jesus has revised in flesh many of my harsh and unpalatable notions about God. Why am I a Christian? It's a great question to ask. And Yancey says, I find myself sometimes asking myself that question, and to be perfectly honest, the reasons reduce to two. One, I'm a Christian because of lack of good alternatives. And two, because of Jesus. Brilliant, untamed, tender, creative, slippery, irreducible, paradoxically humble, Jesus stands up to scrutiny. He is who I want my God to be. Look to Jesus in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look at all of history in the scriptures pointing towards who Jesus is. Look at the early church, the birth of the early church. It is based upon the cornerstone, the foundation, Jesus Christ. Get to grips with scripture this year and learn much more about the beauty and majesty of Jesus. The third one is a pleasing personality. Verse 10, and we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. Knowing Jesus better means living in a way that pleases him. You all in this room have a wonderful personality. All of you. Don't let anyone tell you anything different. There's enough criticism and knocking in this world. Each of you has a great personality made in God's image. Make sure that personality shines for the world to see, radiates something of who God is. Pope Francis said, it's good to talk, but not on mobiles. And we often stand or sit with our mobiles close to our faces. But he says, actually, do what Jesus and Mary and Joseph and others did. They talked to one another. Their personalities were aroma of wonder and sweetness to those around them. And I thought, well, they didn't have mobile phones. Jesus never had a mobile phone. You know, he never had that temptation. But the point, you get the point. May your personality connect well with those around you. We live in a world today that is tragically broken and fragmented. You and I know that. Racism, sexism, homophobia, trolls, discrimination, bullying, so much language of division and disunity. But, and I'm going to copy the words of Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury. He talked about having a heroic resolution at this new year. And a heroic resolution means to walk across the room to reach out to someone else and say, I want to relate with you in a way that is Christ-like. To be with someone with a different worldview and a different point of view, but to love them into the likeness of Christ. A different lifestyle, a different persona, a different personality, but to love them into the likeness of Christ. Base your life on who Jesus is, who broke down barriers and went to the lost and the lonely, the forgotten, the downtrodden, the discriminated, the despised and the rejected. May your personality reach out to those the world forgets or discriminates against and says to that person, I want to be your companion. I want you not to be forgotten. I want my personality to be pleasing to you. I want to base my life on Jesus, and the fruit of that is his to own. Fourthly, about problems. Verse 11, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might so that you may have endurance and patience. I'm going to tell you something that is not shocking, but not every day of 2020 is going to be a glorious day. You're going to have the nightmare day too. It's not going to be plain sailing. But how do we know Jesus better through adversity and through tough times? What does it mean to be strengthened, to have patience and to endure when life isn't going swimmingly well? What does it mean to be resilient in faith and trust in the Lord when not everything goes as you assume? I love this post by Gemma, who's here. Gemma put this post on Facebook. And it just makes sense. If you feel inspired to use the new year to help you reset or change habits, great. And yet, the old you has survived every day. The terrible day, every hard feeling, every awful circumstance, and every heartbreak you've ever felt. The old you is a fighter, and that's worth celebrating. It's true. You're not going to be completely different this year from last year. Jesus was with you last year and journeys with you into the new year. Your old self and your new self. The bad habits and the good habits. He is with you. And I love this other quote. In Jesus we find that we are loved with all our limitations by a God whose love has no limits. None of us in this room are perfect. None of us have got it sorted. We're all in need of the limitless love of God in our lives. So even when you struggle and there's stress and there's pain in the year ahead, know Christ is with you, in Christ alone, who journeys with you and will never leave you nor forsake you. And we as a church need to be there for you as a practical expression of the presence of Christ with you. For we do not have a high priest who does not sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who in every respect has been tested and yet is without sin. The problems may come, but the love of Christ is deeper still. Second from last, possibilities. Verse 12, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Knowing Jesus better is not just a present reality, it has a future hope as well. We may be disillusioned or distressed about all that's going on around the world, but we have one who is in control and a future that is secure and certain. And we, as followers of Christ, have an inheritance. I sometimes think other people's pension pot is a lot greater than mine. Can't deny it. I'm a bit jealous. But we've all got the same inheritance, really. And I love the fact that in Christ alone, I know where my future is headed. May that be true for each of us in this year ahead. That's true. Every day presents a day of possibilities. But beyond those daily possibilities is an eternal hope that Jesus invites us into and welcomes us in life and in death. And in life again, there is a hope in Jesus. Know him through this year and the possibilities that lie ahead. And lastly, passion. For he has rescued us, in verse 13, from darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have the redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I want to passionately put Jesus first in my life. The question is, do we all want to do that in 2020? What does that look like? Passion, some people think passion's based upon an extrovert personality. It's not. For those who are introverts, those who are shy or quieter, you are passionate as well, but it's expressed differently. We express our passion in one main way by prioritizing the life of Christ. Let's do that in all that we seek to do today. So, you may want to be thinking about prayer, or you may want to be thinking about the page of scripture, or a pleasing personality, or problems, or possibilities, or passion. Wherever you are at today, think about committing yourself to Christ alone, for he will set you free and release you into the joy of each of these things. A moment to pause and listen to the kids as they come in and offer yourself and say, Lord, I want to commit to you in this year to know you better in one or all of these ways. Let's commit ourselves to him. We are drawn to you, Jesus, irresistibly because you positioned yourself as the dividing point of life, of my life. May my prayer life to you be one of joy and of anticipation, not guilt or forgetfulness. May my reading of your word be filled with anticipation for your direction in my life. And not a chore. May my personality be transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit to be more like Jesus with everybody I meet. And not hidden. The problems that come, Lord, I fear them and I'm perhaps anxious of them. But Lord, I know that you will be with me in and through, for your love is limitless. The possibilities, Lord, that abound, that are ahead, I don't know them, but you do. I trust you for them, Lord. Direct me, guide me. I'm held within your hand. Forgive me if my vision of you is too small. And Lord, may I have a passion for your name in this year. There are so many things that demand my attention, so many things that pull for my priority. But Lord, may my priority be you. Jesus, may I have a passion for your name. Forgive me if my faith in you has stagnated and become sterile. In Jesus, we find we are loved with all our limitations, but by a God whose love has no limits. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.